Hi, I'm Kim McCulley Mobley. I'm 60 years old. Today's date is Sunday, May 1st, 2022. I'm in the heart of the Ozarks with my son, Jake, and we're here to talk about several things with StoryCorps.
Hi, I'm Jake McCulley. I'm 32. It's Sunday, May 1st, 2022. We are in Springfield, Missouri, in the heart of the Ozarks, and I'm here with my mom, Kim.
We'll get started. I have several things, Jake, that I wanted us to talk about today. I was so excited when I found out StoryCorps was coming. I feel like maybe it's time that we sort of, I don't know, tell our story and share a few highlights and talk about a love letter to our community, our people, our family, our friends, and maybe where we've been, and talk about a little bit about the next chapter, where we're headed.
I like it.
One of the things that I want to talk about that I've always talked to you about growing up was my parents both came to Aurora, Missouri from Northwest Arkansas in 1950 after World War II. Their plan, so much was going on in Aurora, and they were farmers, and mother had been a teacher and a Rosie the Riveter. Dad had been a farmer and a soldier in the war, and they were having a hard time. They had a little girl, my sister Karen, and they were going to come to Aurora, get rich, and move back to Arkansas. And as we both know, those riches came in people, places, adventure, victories, a few losses and sorrows, but a lot of determination and grit that I think our family has been known for through the years. And those riches have certainly exemplified themselves in their children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, even though they're both gone. So I want to talk about that because I think we're both really fortunate to have grown up in Aurora. It's a scrabble town that's had to reinvent itself a few times. We have a colorful history and a lot of things going on now. I know for me growing up as a hound dog, which is our town mascot and our school mascot, that meant long shots, underdogs, a lot of determination, like we've talked about, and risk sometimes, and then coming together as that one town, one team, one heartbeat that we all talk about now, because at the end of the day, we've always been family, and that still means a lot to me. What kind of memories do you have growing up in Aurora?
Well, I don't know that there were many community events that we weren't both at. basketball games, football games, the hound dog days. Now we do the car show and light the night and other events, but I really enjoyed my time in Northtown.
I did too.
Went driving by that little house on the corner of High and Harrison.
Yes.
It's changed a lot over the years, but it was a good place to grow up in, and it was neat, the background of that home, not even coming in on log rollers from the country.
Right. It was built by miners without a foundation. They put the foundation in last, which I think is backwards. I'm not a builder, but I think the foundation is supposed to go in first. It was over 100 years old when we got it, and we spent a good 20 years remodeling and renovating and updating. And part of those years, your dad was with us, and then there were several years that we were by ourselves. We had an extended family, and your dad still had an active role in your life. But one of the reasons we were at all those community events was because I was the newspaper editor for several years, over 17, I think, until I started teaching when you were in high school. And part of those events, it was our job to cover and be at, and you always helped. I can remember going to drug busts and car wrecks and fall festivals and Main Street meetings and Rotary programs, and you would take notes and take pictures and kind of become my right hand from the time you knew how to write. But we embraced it. We embraced the community with everything that we had, and we loved it. It really wasn't a job. It was a lot of fun. And I know that, you know, my mom was active in a lot of things too, the senior chamber group, the hospital auxiliary. I think she was a charter member, and so many things became part of that extended family and our extended group of friends, because we helped serve our town and our people, and we all just attended those events from sun up to sundown. And, you know, here we are decades later still doing it, and I think that's pretty cool. One of the things I think about too is all of the people that played critical roles in our lives, and some of them aren't here anymore. I think we were talking in the car on the way here about my brother, Randy, who was a DJ, a storyteller, a sports writer, an editor, worked in construction, did a little bit of everything, sort of a chameleon, rubbed elbows with all kinds of people from all walks of life, called himself Snowbird when he was young, a nickname that came from basketball, I think, and then in his later years, before we lost him, he was known as the Old Outlaw. I think that was kind of a curmudgeon-y reputation he sort of conjured up himself, because really he was a softy and a big teddy bear. But he had lots of stories. Loved growing up in Aurora. Loved being in the Ozarks. Loved floating the rivers and streams and camping and playing poker and pitch and you name it. He would love this. He would love that we were sharing our story here today, and he might not like it so much that we were talking about him, but one of the things he talked about, we were working on a book when he died. We were working on one together, and he talked about how as long as we talked about people, they were still with us. We kept their spirits alive, their stories alive, and their values alive. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to be sure and talk about him today as we talk about our love letter to our people that keep us here too.
He definitely would have been a good interview partner.
Wouldn't he? He would have had a lot of fun.
To your radio shows that you guys, the ones that we have recorded, you guys always did a good job.
He always gave me a hard time with all my hyphenated names. He said I sounded like a law firm. And then he always said that I remembered things before I was born. I don't think that was very fair. I think I embedded a lot of other people's stories in my memory so that I could share those stories too. But he would say, I don't know, ask him. She remembers things before she was born. One of the things I also wanted to talk about, you know, we've got a lot going on in Aurora right now, and I'm pretty excited about that. Aurora's history is steeped in the mining industry, founded in 1870 after the Civil War by a Union officer who received a pension and a little bit of money and land as a thank you, and gave part of that land to his family, and then gave part of that land to a community that we would someday call home. And a lot of what I do is sense of place work. Now that I'm teaching, I work with kids in leadership. I work with kids in media, and I work with basically all my dual credit classes. I try to embed a service component where they have to learn about their town. They have to interview people. They have to find heroes. They have to find some role models. And they have to look at what's important to them. And my hope is, like here we are creeping up on graduation in a couple weeks, that no matter where they go, where they land, what they do, that they'll be productive citizens wherever they land, part of the solution and not a problem. They'll be part of preserving, protecting, and promoting those stories like we're talking about today. And then I always say that cheesy little thing called All Roads Lead Home, that at some point, whether it's Christmas break, Mother's Day, somebody's birthday, an event, that Aurora will always be their home. And I want them to go see the world and do other things and be part of other towns and places. But I do want them to know that they're part of something really special. And so when we talk about that, and we talk about the things that are going on today, We want to have a vision. We want to have a vision for the future. We don't just want to be steeped in history and all these stories, but it's where are we headed? And for the first time in, I don't know, probably since your dad was on the city council in the late 80s, and you were born in 1990, probably for the first time in about 30 years, we have a lot of key people in place to do a lot of good things. I was at a meeting last week where they talked about $80 million worth of projects on the table right now going on in our little town of, 7,000 people. That's a lot.
That's huge.
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of development. It's a lot of projects. Some of those projects include things like a rec center, an aquatic center, walking trails, something to connect all the parks. And I always think about, when I work with the different historical boards and alumni centers and groups, and you're on some of those boards with me, we always want to pass the torch to younger people with those same visions and ideas, because unfortunately we know we're not going to be around forever. And we know that even if we do get blessed with a long life, sometimes there's going to be things that limit us a little bit, whether it's mobility, just energy, all kinds of things that can affect us. So I like that fact about you, your friends, because no matter where you are, all over the world, I get messages, calls, letters, emails. Hey, I see you've got such and such a project going on in Aurora. How can I be a part of that? How can I help? Do you need time? Do you need resources? Do you need money? I think your group of friends, and then some of the ones younger than you on down to the seniors that I have right now, get it. And can you talk to me a little bit about why preserve the history and why be a part of the vision for the future? And what should we do?
That's a tough question. I think your leadership kids, I don't know how long you've been doing that particular 5 years. You've had some really good groups that have been very involved in the community, that seem to be interested in what's going on in the community. You'll always have, a group of students, and I've got some very good friends that have, they went out and they've done great things away from our hometown, but I know it's always in their heart, and they're always thinking about it, or not always, but, they don't forget it. And, we've got some really good kids. I call them kids. They were younger than me that...
I know. You a kid.
Established businesses that have come back to Aurora, that have hired people, that have put their own money, into the community, and that continue to sponsor everything that, comes across their desk or counter. And I think that that's really cool. I've got some friends older than me as well that have, it doesn't seem like it's been 14 years, if I'm doing the math right, since I graduated. But
isn't that crazy?
Got attorneys in town, pharmacists. I know I'm going to miss some, but several business owners that have kind of paved the way. The people before us that have retired, that we've been the pillars in the community that I grew up, that I grew up respecting and following, and always they were always involved. Different professionals and people in town, and it seems like those have been replaced by my peers, and that's cool to see. So I've been very proud of several different groups of students that have come out of Aurora since my time there. And I know I don't want to say any names, because I know that there's too many and I don't want to miss any of them, but they know who they are, and they've done a great job.
They do. And I'm probably going to say a few names, and I'll probably miss somebody too, but I know our current chamber president is Dawn Opplinger, and she works with the executive director, our favorite redhead, Shannon Walker. And Shannon, you were older by the time we hired Shannon, and she came along, but Don can remember me taking you to Main Street meetings and Rotary programs in a little Moses basket because I didn't always have a babysitter, didn't always have any place to leave you. And she will say, can we reenact that? Can we get a basket? Can we put him in a basket now? So it's cool for me to see some of those same people still working with kids, still working with community leaders and members. It also makes me realize the backbone of our community, how blessed we are and lucky we are to have so many people who care about us and care about our town and care about making it a place that people are going to want to live, work, and play in the future, not just today. And I think that's really important. One of the things I also wanted to talk about today was, like, when we talk about sense of place work, we completed a mural last year, and that was kind of important to me. You know, long story short, I'm clicking along in January, thought I was a little tired working on homecoming, and I'm around kids every day. Aurora had had a few COVID cases, and we were enacting some COVID protocols. And for the most part, a lot of us had been extremely lucky until January. And then I took a big time out. And I remember things being a little fuzzy. And we're in a group text, you and me and your wife, Kara, and my niece, Cody, your cousin. And I guess my answers and responses got fuzzy and incoherent and far apart, which normally we're just kind of chatting off and on all day long, especially on my days off. And I ended up not making a lot of sense, and you guys kind of called out the National Guard. I'll always be grateful for that, because as I was getting sick, I had also, I guess, brought it home to Al, my husband, your stepdad, and he was getting sick too, and neither one of us, as rough and tough and rowdy and determined and gutsy as we think we are, had the sense to call for help and had the sense to tell anybody what was going on or how we were feeling. And I know I just wanted to take a big nap, and I'd been doing that for about 3 days. And I did have a doctor tell me later that if I had slept a couple more hours, probably wouldn't be here. So I do think I'm on borrowed time, and I'm extremely blessed that the ambulance came, that you guys made some calls and put some things in place to get me some help. And then in the middle of that, I ended up on a ventilator, and you became my voice. And I know that you like being low-key and a little private and not so much in the public eye, because you grew up that way in a small town and kind of carved out a little bit different lifestyle now. And I will always be grateful that you stepped in and became my voice. You became my voice on Facebook. You became my voice on other social media platforms. And when people would reach out, I ended up being in the hospital about 3 weeks. And I am a firm believer in technology and medicine and science and all of the good things that I was able to take part in and be a part of and the good care I received. But I'll always think it's the prayers and the love and the support from my tribe all over the world, not just Aurora, that kept me here. I wasn't finished. I still have work to do. And I know I've told you how I feel about you, and I've told you how I feel about the community and the people that loved and supported us. And it's hard to say that I'm grateful for everything that happened, but I am. I'm different. I'm stronger. I think you are too. My faith is definitely stronger, and I'm so excited for what the future holds and for getting things kind of that second wind and a second momentum and just making that checklist of when I do retire from teaching, you know, what's next. But I wanted you to talk a little bit about that time and how we all came together as a community, as a family. I don't really want to go down the rabbit hole of anything negative or too emotional, but I do think when we talk about our community and our love for them and the mural that we helped create and the second one that we're getting ready to launch, I think that catalyst, the COVID catalyst, I think that's a big part of who we are now and where we're headed.
Yeah, and it was definitely a turning point in our lives last year. Very grateful. We've got great family, great friends. Try to be relatively brief here. Yeah, it definitely gives you a new perspective to, and I know people, there's been many affected by COVID since it began and other, many other diseases and illnesses, and it it definitely, we've been fortunate, I guess, to not have too many of those types of events where it kind of impacted us as an immediate family. I mean, we've had some, but it was a little different because, like you said, we grew up together, or I grew up, we were together for 14 years, and it's hard to imagine losing you, but we had a good support group.
We did, and I think too, I heard your voice when I was on the ventilator, and I've had kids say, "Mrs. Mobley, was that uncomfortable? Did that hurt?" It didn't hurt. And the things that were uncomfortable or that might hurt were just a nice little reminder that I was still here. And I can remember there was a couple of really kind nurses that kept my phone charged, and they would hold my phone up to my ear and let me hear your voice. And you would tell me you loved me, and you would tell me to fight. And those were the things that I would always say to you. And I found you saying a lot of those things back to me. And you weren't the only one. Reve called, and some other people. I think your dad even called. I thought it was just such a neat opportunity to know how people really feel about you, and then to know that you had that kind of that kind of love and momentum and push behind you. I mean, what else could I do but ask God to let me stay and to try to keep fighting? And I kept mentally making this list of all the things that I wanted to do, and I never quit trying to talk. I did have a couple of doctors say, "You're going to have to quit talking because this isn't designed for you to talk. Let other people talk for you. You'll talk later." And I can remember the pictures you guys sent on the wall. So many memories, so many places, so many faces, good times, family events. And I just thought, I don't want to give that up. I want to be here one more day, one more time, one more year, one more whatever. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to do this with StoryCorps and share our story. Because I think our community story that goes back to that, 1950 when my parents landed there to get rich and go back to Arkansas, that richness is still there. And it's exemplified itself so many times, so many ways. And I just keep wanting to find new ways to pay it forward and to tell people, they matter. Their stories matter. Their lives matter. The work we do matters. And I look at failure differently because failure is just an opportunity to do it again, do it better. Yeah. I struggled last year. I wasn't on top of my game. And I know you don't like me talking about that, but, I had to rest more. I had to go to bed earlier. There'd be times in the day when I'm juggling all the things that I do, and things would start to get a little fuzzy, and I would just know that I had to take a time out. And I think those timeouts are good. I'm still taking a few of them. But as we regroup and decide what's important, then it also gives us a chance to ditch some of the things that aren't important or create some distance from things that might be toxic or negative or a time waster. I don't know.
Yep.
But I, you know, as I do realize, you know, from the people that I was in the COVID tower with, that not everybody has what we have in terms of that support system. I want to be that voice for people who can't talk for themselves. I want to do for them what you did for me. And I've made a promise to do that. I've made a promise to answer questions honestly and faithfully, when, even if it makes me uncomfortable, even if the truth isn't really something I want to share. I've always tried to keep certain things private. And that's hard to do in a small town when you live in a little bit of a fishbowl. And this year I've talked to kids about setbacks and failures and second chances and long shots and how it's important just to do things, even if you do them backwards or the wrong way. Do something. Yep. Make a difference and make sure that people matter. Everybody's fighting something. Sometimes it's visible and sometimes it's not. But I think it's really important to create that sense of unity and family and community everywhere we go, because people will never forget that. You know, we talked about my brother Randy earlier. One of the things that at his celebration of life that I had several people come up and tell me was that, you know, he was always an athlete and he was good at several things and he was really smart. But in the old days when they'd have team captains and pick teams, and there were always those kids like me that might get picked last, he made sure he picked those kids first, because he wanted them to feel important to him, regardless of their ability. So he knew what some of them were fighting or struggling with at home, and he wanted them to know that when it came to picking his team, he wanted them. And I can't count the people that came up and told me that. And here he was, what, you know, 65 years old. So those team picking days were decades past. And that's what people still remembered. And I thought, how wonderful to be remembered for having compassion and humility and a kind heart and helping people that might just need that little oomph for somebody to believe in them. So I like that. I like that a lot. One of the things I wanted to talk about, too, is what's next? What's next for us? I've got a few plans. I'm gonna.
I didn't know if you meant you and me or the community.
Both. Yeah. Both. I want all of it. I think what we have is because of the community, and because of the people that love and support us. And I want to keep doing that. I know that you know, I quit coloring my hair before COVID, And the whiter my hair gets, I have kids at school that'll say, "Miss Melanie, when are you going to retire?" And I say, "Well, I'm a late bloomer. I've always been a late bloomer. I didn't get started till I was in my 40s, so it's really not time for me to retire yet." But as I think about my work in the community with the Alumni and Outreach Center that you helped me with, and with YEP, Youth Empowerment, the Community Foundation, the Chamber, Rotary, and of course teaching at the high school, and I also teach part-time for Crowder and Drury. I think about all those things and I think, what can I fold this next chapter into if I do retire? What can I do? Because I really can't see myself crocheting in a corner at home cooking Al 5-course meals. I just can't see it. I might do that one day a week. But I think about forming a business, possibly a nonprofit, possibly an LLC.
I think the hard part is we have so many interests.
We do.
Passions that we'll have to filter those down into something.
Simple.
We'll have to pick one or two or three things.
You don't think maybe I'm going to live another 60 years and can tackle all those
things? We could.
I get it. I totally get it. But I want to figure out ways to do that advocacy work that we've talked about, fold it into community service, maybe some marketing and public relations. Maybe do a little bit about what we're doing right now, telling people stories and finding different platforms to share, tell, promote, preserve, protect them.
On our way over here, and I know you referenced it at the very beginning, I love that story. And of course, you know, I know that there's more background on my dad's side as well, as to why we're here and why you met, but your mom and dad coming from Green Forest, Alpena, Huntsville area. Correct me if I'm wrong. we went through there a week ago, and it was neat. You were actually telling those stories as we were driving
while you were driving through
412, and it's neat to think about. I don't know that I have I have a connection to Arkansas, but their move created new roots for us to enjoy a new life in our hometown, and we've just had a. I didn't really get to tie up my prior statement, but we. I know it probably goes without saying, but our friends and family and the community members have been very appreciated. We've got a great support group. People continue to reach out and help their community in different ways. They always have. I love the ability. I love what StoryCorps is doing and the fact that, you know, people get to come and share their stories and their backgrounds. I wish we had more recordings. I know.
I do too.
You've recorded a lot of things. I need to get with my dad, and I know probably many other people feel the same way about their relatives, to document those things, and you find out things about your family and your friends that you didn't know.
Right.
Like you said, you remembered them before you were born.
I was talking to my friend Marcia on the way up here today, and she has experienced some loss the last couple of years too, with her parents and a brother. And we were talking about our family stories and the way we grew up and how important things are. Sometimes the older you get and how you're trying to remember things, and you think, oh, I can ask my brother, I can ask my sister, I can ask so-and-so about that, you know, and nail down the details. And then there comes that day when they're not here.
Right.
Whether death, sickness, change in circumstances, something. And sometimes we miss out on those opportunities, and we have to do the best we can with the stories we have. And I do think it's important to share our story and to encourage other people to share theirs, and then to find new ways to keep those stories alive for the generations to come. And I think about our town motto, which I know there's several, but, you know, once a hound dog, always a hound dog. That tells me we're tough. We're not always going to be a winner on the scoreboard, but there's other ways to win, and there's other ways to learn, and there's other ways to grow. And it goes back to those military roots from World War I, too. And then I think about One Town, One Team, One Heartbeat that GROW uses as part of economic development, quality of life push, and I think we've lived that one town, one team, one heartbeat. I think
Definitely.
We still are. And then I think about mine that I use for all of our sense of place work, is that at the end of the day, all roads lead home. And to me, that's what stories are. It's all about home, love, support, vision, paying it forward, and doing the best you can with what you have at the end of the day.
I agree. One of my the ones we use, another one is we're all in this together.
Yes.
I know that's maybe cliche, but I find myself saying it a lot, especially the last year, in different ways. You know, I know we can't be everything to everyone at all times, but in the ways that we can help, even if they're small. I know we try to do that, and I know other folks in Aurora and in the Ozarks try to do that as well, every chance they get. So, special place to grow up and live in.
It is. And I think, you know, I think about a student I get to work with now at home called Castle. And when I first met Castle a couple years ago at a local establishment, I walked in and made some kind of order, and he was serving people, and he goes, "Oh, you're Kim McCulley Mobley?" I said, "I am." He goes, "I've heard about you." And I said, "You have? What have you heard?" And he said, "Well, it's a little bit good and a little bit bad." And of course, all the girls at the table just cracked up. And now I'm fortunate to get to work with Castle. Every day, if I want to, he comes in and gives me Aurora updates. But there's nobody in town that loves their community more than that young man. He loves his town. He loves his people. He loves me. He's always there if I need him to work a blood drive or support the next mural or sell some kind of raffle tickets. And I think how delighted I am that we had that initial conversation about a little bit good and a little bit bad, because, you know, we do all have some rough spots and high points, low points, and mixed up parts in between. And our roles are going to be constantly changing, but how cool to be a part of that tapestry, that quilt, that story that keeps us all here no matter what happens in the future.
I love looking at the, like I said, we could name it, we'd probably take up our whole time given credit where credit is due, but I like the range of people in our town that, from Castle's age, I mean, even kids younger than him, and all the way up to folks, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s, that love their community and have been involved for their entire life. And that fire continues to be passed down. I've always found that pretty special.
It is special. Extremely special. So at the end of the day, all roads lead home.